Happy Advent! As we prepare to welcome Jesus once again into the world, we intentionally set aside time each day to listen, meditate, and talk to God. Preparing for Jesus involves much more than buying presents and organizing parties. The more we devote ourselves to learning about the world into which Jesus was born, the more deeply we will understand what it means to welcome Him into our world. Join us as we seek to welcome Jesus with our whole heart, mind, body, and strength this Advent season. All right. Welcome to our Advent podcast here at First Lutheran Church. My name is Pastor Jill.
I'm Rachel, the Director of Children, Youth, and Family Ministry.
Thank you. And this season, we are going to be studying this book called The First Advent in Palestine. And it is going to help us prepare for the arrival of baby Jesus in a whole new way. I really like how Kelly, the author of this book, gives us a little bit of background here in her opening reflection. She writes, "This book is about the first Advent in Palestine, taking the place, people, and politics of the land seriously. The imperial politics and economics are the backdrop to the gospel narratives, necessary elements in understanding what the Holy Family and many since were up against as they tried to survive in hostile territory." And Rachel, I think we are both reflecting on how very timely this is right now. When you guys see this, hopefully the conflict is over, but there was just war happening back in that land between Palestine and Israel, and we're feeling afresh the pain that people have experienced there for many, many generations.
Yeah, thanks, Pastor Jill. This book is so interesting to think about how this is ever fresh. It's ever new. It happened in Jesus' time. It's happening throughout history, and it's happening now. And I'm just so interesting about how this goes. The one thing that she writes in chapter one is the first Advent began in darkness and in danger. And we were talking about how that's so the opposite of how we think of Advent, of Christmas lights and shopping and parties. But that's really not what she's getting into and what this book is about.
No, so, I always think of Advent calendars. Do you buy those for your kids?
We've made some and used them, but
And my kids love the kind that you can open the little door and get a little chocolate in them, and that's really not setting the tone for understanding fully what the Gospels tell us.
Yeah, and it's so interesting, in the first chapter they talk about, I think it's called Silence and Suffering, and just the idea of it's been a long time where they haven't heard from God, and then all of this trauma is happening in that first Advent time.
Absolutely, yes. We are learning in this first chapter some of the history about what happened that's recorded in the Maccabees. Mm-hmm. And if you are reading a Bible that Lutherans read, you probably don't have the Maccabees in your Bible. It's in a section called the Apocrypha that Catholic people have in their Bibles. But it explains some of the setting and the violence that was happening, and the sacrifices that were being made, and how the Jewish people in particular were feeling attacked and shamed.
Absolutely. That context was really interesting for me to think about Jesus being a different kind of hero than the Maccabees, and to think about how that would have impacted Mary and her family.
Absolutely. Yeah. Was there something that jumped out to you?
Yeah. I mean, I think about how we don't really listen to the conquered nature of that land, and how they were an occupied people, and how the story of Maccabees is a story of resistance against that. And Jesus was a different kind of resistance, not a violent resistance, but a different kind of resistance.
Yeah. Right. And I was just thinking about how Israel was attacked this time, you know, and by Hamas, and we can't blame them for responding ferociously to protect their people. But it's just so sad all the way around. Yeah. And that's one type of resistance.
Absolutely.
To fight. But yes, Jesus came to show us a different way.
A very different way, yes.
Yeah. Did you have a quote?
Yeah, I do have a quote. So on page 21, if you have your books, they talk about the importance of listening and lamenting about what's happening in Palestine and the ongoing trauma in both sides of the community. This week, if you're looking back in the historical, you can see that the ELCA Lutheran Church partners with the International Church of Jordan and Palestine, and those Lutheran bishops were sharing their laments and how important it is and how everyone is struggling. And on chapter 21, it says, in the first advent in Palestine, everyone is afraid. Everyone still hungers for liberation and light, for God to arrive again with a lasting peace. And then a little longer, it says, what I fail to see, I fail to lament. If I can't express grief about the brokenness around me, then I remain trapped, a harm to myself and to others. And as I'm thinking about this Advent, I'm thinking it's a good time for us to start opening ourselves up to the difficulty and to understand it and to see it and to live and lament in the dark times of our world and also our dark times of our personal lives, because we all kind of hide that pain sometimes, even especially in Advent. We try to put on a good show for Christmas.
Right. And I know that sometimes we have like a blue Christmas worship service where people who are grieving perhaps will go to it. But we don't acknowledge that very likely as a society as a whole, we probably have stuff we need to lament.
Absolutely.
And we are based in the Twin Cities, and I feel there's still an ongoing lament about the activities around the death of George Floyd.
Absolutely.
And racial tensions. There's economic things to lament, and people are living in unequal economic situations. The whole pandemic, I'm lamenting that I had to go get vaccinated again, and I hate it. And but yeah. Can you think of anything in particular that we've been lamenting?
And I think, well, here at the church, we hear stories of people that are going through grief with their families and struggles. And so often holiday seasons, that comes back up to the forefront. And we don't often take time to say that's a part of Advent, too. A part of our Advent is to lament our grief and to think about how at this first Advent they were living in this suffering and pain, and we can do that too, and that's still faithful. We don't always have to bring that up. So for me, when I gather with my family for Christmas, and for we always gather before Christmas just for everyone's schedules, to think about it's okay for us to take moments to remember those that we've lost, that we love, that the funerals that we've attended this year, and what's happening in our personal lives. So,
absolutely. And you helped me think about how when we are the ones grieving or lamenting, and we come to worship on Christmas or we get together with those parties, we almost feel bad.
Yes.
Like we shouldn't bring everybody down,
right,
because this is supposed to be such a happy, joyful time. But learning about the context at the first Advent, perhaps we are more in line with what was experienced by Jesus and his family and the people of the area, and we are more truthful to the story of the Gospels if we come in a spirit of lament.
That's amazing. And I think about the hope that's in the middle of the grief, and about how that is really what we're experiencing in Advent. We feel the deep pain even right now with what's happening in Palestine and Israel, but we're also hopeful.
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. And that brings up another quote that I wanted to share with you. It's on page 13 at the very end of the top section. And there are questions posed. Now, the questions relate to the Maccabees and their experience with their temple being ransacked. Mm-hmm. And the question is, do you keep waiting for relief to come, for the fire to be relit, or do you try to hasten its arrival? This is following the question, how do you hold on to hope? So you mentioned hope, and there's different ways to hold on to it, and some of it might be very aggressively trying to hold on to it, make it happen, or do we just wait on God's timing and an inspiration of the Spirit? And both are valid responses. And I guess we just don't know what's appropriate at the time unless we're in conversation with God.
It's really hard to wait for hope that we can't. There's so many things in life that you can't make happen. And I know when I'm thinking about Advent, I'm spending a lot of time thinking about the coming of Jesus. And that makes me think about the pregnancy and how it's so much like there's, you want it to go good, but there's not a lot you can, you just have to wait. You just have to wait right. for God's new life to break into the world. And you want to hasten its arrival, but you can't. So that's how I think about waiting and actively praying. And do we see hope as an active thing, or is hope passive? Is hope an action? And if it is, then that's an action you can take even in the midst of grief.
Absolutely. The author really plays on the name for Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us. And she says on the bottom of page 21, God is with us where trauma hits the hardest. And her last sentence of this chapter, in Advent, we learn that God is always coming to our troubled times. So as we close out our discussion of this first chapter, I hope that we are feeling validated for where we are right now. At the beginning of Advent, even if it's not where we think we should be, and validated that God is with us no matter how hard or painful it might be.
Awesome.
Let's close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, be with us. Everybody who is listening or watching, Lord, has their own struggles, their own laments. Send your Holy Spirit, Jesus, to be with each one of us, to fill our spaces with your presence, to remind us that you are with us now and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.